Greetings, and welcome to Celsius Holdings' second quarter 2018 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Mr. Cameron Donahue, with Hayden IR. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. We appreciate you joining us today for Celsius Holdings' second quarter 2018 earnings conference call. Joining me on the call today are John Fieldly, President and Chief Executive Officer, and Edwin Negron-Caballo, Chief Financial Officer. Following prepared comments, we will open the call to your questions, and instructions will be given at that time. We will file a quarterly report with the SEC and issue a press release today. All materials are available on the company's website at CelsiusHoldingsInc.com under the Investor Relations section. As a reminder, before I turn the call over to John, the audio replay will be available later today. Please also be aware that this call may contain forward-looking statements which are based on forecast, expectations, and other information available to management as of today, August 9th, 2018. These statements involve numerous risks and uncertainties, including many that are beyond the company's control. Except to the extent as required by applicable law, Celsius Holdings undertakes no obligations and disclaims any duty to update any of these forward-looking statements. We encourage you to review in full our safe harbor disclosures contained in today's press release and our quarterly filings with the SEC for additional information. With that, I'd like to turn our call over to President and Chief Executive Officer John Fieldly for his prepared remarks. John?
Thank you, Cameron. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Before I get started, I would like to welcome Edwin Negron-Caballo, our newly appointed Chief Financial Officer, who joined us last week. He brings more than 30 years of financial and operational experience to our organization. Edwin is well-versed in U.S. GAAP, International Financial Reporting Standards, having worked as a CPA for many years with significant experience in mergers and acquisitions. We are pleased to have you join our team and look forward to applying your experience to our operations. Edwin, welcome. Now turning to our second quarter. We further advanced our distribution and expansion strategy across all of our regions. A number of large retailers, convenience stores, and new channels of distribution were brought online both domestically and internationally, further increasing our availability and visibility for our portfolio of premium fitness beverages. With innovative products and compelling packaging, we have reached more and more consumers each and every day. Our targeted sales strategies are bringing Celsius to new channels, increasing product availability, and our targeted marketing strategies are introducing new customers who are embracing and enjoying our great-tasting, proven fitness drink. Our strategy of positioning Celsius as a global beverage leader for health-minded consumers remains our top priority. Domestically, Celsius continues to gain great acceptance. Revenue increased nearly 30% to a record $8.5 million in the second quarter, where we continue to see strong growth in existing accounts. Despite a temporary production delay, which caused a significant shift of nearly $1.3 million in sales from the second quarter of 2018 to the third quarter of 2019. We managed through these timing delays, and production and delivery of our product has stabilized. In addition, domestically, we were focused on ensuring we can support our explosive growth in the U.S. market as we continue to optimize our supply chain with multiple co-packers. We are extremely encouraged by the number of new, high-quality customers we added to our domestic lineup, including Target, CVS, Food Lion, Hannaford's, Menards, Wawa, Circle K, as well as many others. We also had notable expansion in adding over 300 new Planet Fitness locations, further penetrating the fitness channel. And we expanded our Celsius Heat to over 25% of all 7-Elevens nationwide, where our core line is in approximately 50% of national distribution today. We also rolled out a healthy vending and micro market initiative, with a focused, dedicated team where we are seeing great opportunity targeting at-work locations and healthy vending opportunities in this growing channel. They've entered this new channel with great success and are seeing extremely high velocity rates at these at-work locations. We are very excited about the future of this channel, which further aligns with our strategy of continuing to target health-minded consumers where they live, work, and play. In our military channel, all three of our product varieties are now sold in more than 800 exchanges worldwide, including the Army, Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard. Total growth through this channel is now up to 50,000 units per week at the end of the second quarter, where just over a year ago, units were running on average about 10,000 units per week in the same period. Our expansion in Target further establishes a nationwide platform for widespread availability. Initially, we launched and gained authorization for three SKUs, Sparkling Orange, Peach Mango, and Sparkling Watermelon, in more than 1,000 locations of the 1,900 Target stores on the ambient energy shelf in the second quarter where the restart started to take place. As the resets took place, we have received reorders and have received positive feedback and strong consumer demand. And we now expect to add additional flavors in the back half of 2018. Our relationship with Target is a clear sign of the change in consumer demand as shopping patterns in the grocery and mass channel energy sets continue to shift. Retail buyers are seeking brands that drive traffic and increase sales. Many buyers are carving out new, healthy meets functional energy sets. We are capitalizing on this evolving trend. To that end, our IRI SPINS data as of July 15th validates the demand for our products. And with retailers that are adding Celsius to their product lineups, the convenience store market had over a 42% growth over the trailing 12 months. We were outpacing the category by 12.5 times with only a 10% ACV. These results demonstrate our products are in demand and we are being accepted by today's health-minded consumer. In addition, the momentum demonstrates our products have mass appeal. In the Nordic region, the month of May was the best sales month our partners had since first entering the region. The quarter, however, was impacted by orders to Celsius due to timing of flavor launches and a reduction of inventory levels as they transitioned to a refreshed new look and feel. We are on track for solid growth. We're on track for a solid third quarter as production and delivery has returned to more normalized levels. We are encouraged by the near-term prospect of adding several new retailers and to expand our distribution in Finland and Norway in the back half of 2018, which will further our penetration in those markets. In China, we had a highly successful selling season by our primary distributor. Due to timing of retailer resets, the channel fill will flow mostly to the third quarter, as the second quarter distribution was filled primarily from inventory sold to our partner in March of the first quarter. Supporting this growth, we have received reorders and have already fulfilled orders for the third quarter to our distribution partner. In China, we have nearly doubled the number of stores since last quarter to more than 25,000 locations, and we added over 11,000 key accounts. We are now in 45 cities, supported by 147 sub-distributors, including key accounts such as Circle K, Lawson's, Carrefour, RT Mart, Vanguard, Metro, Century Mart, and Alibaba's new Hema supermarkets in Beijing. We are also selling well on JD.com and Tmall. Our marketing activities during the quarter in China included sampling, digital, and events targeting consumers living an active, healthy lifestyle, driving trial and interaction. Some of the events included X-Mutter, an event series in China similar to Tough Mudder, our U.S. partner. In China, we have a distinct advantage. We are producing in-country, sourcing all materials locally, and we are supported by local investors and partners. With operations localized, we're able to reduce the impact of tariffs, have a competitive-priced, innovative product able to gain mass appeal. With local partners, we're able to leverage their experience and networks to increase our speed to market, capitalizing on today's health-minded consumer with our trend-forward fitness beverage. We are driving tremendous progress across all of our regions of our business, reaching a broader audience with more products through an increased number of distribution channels. We're very optimistic about our future and the direction we are headed. In addition to the incremental momentum and expansion, we are also very active engaging consumers and driving awareness and trial. Our Tough Mudder sponsorship is in full swing in the U.S. During the second quarter, we toured Miami, Texas, Philly, Michigan, Kentucky, Virginia, and Boston. And on average, we sampled over 25,000 to 30,000 people each and every weekend while touring these cities and also through our guerrilla sampling events, which continued across the U.S. In addition to consumer sampling, the team also sampled heavily in the trade, attending several events and trade shows targeting vending, colleges and universities, health and fitness, and retail partners. Our digital team continues to leverage our assets and our increasing engagement on all social platforms. In addition, we launched our Celsius Lifer Brand Ambassador Program with great success, receiving great interest and support for the program. We currently have a team of over 300 passionate ambassadors throughout the nation signed up for the program, and many are being onboarded, more are being onboarded as we speak. This is going to increase our reach, engagement, and influence. Additionally, in the second quarter, our newest flavor to our core wine, a great-tasting kiwi guava, was well-received and made it to the shelves of many retail outlets in the second quarter, including 7-Eleven and many fitness locations. In addition, the new flavor is gaining interest from many of our customers for its crisp taste, great flavor, and is perfect and refreshing for the hot summer days. Also in the quarter, we finalized and introduced in July two new flavors for our convenient on-the-go powdered sticks. The two new flavors, combined with their clinically proven functional formula, adds coconut and cranberry lemon flavor to our existing powder lineup of orange and berry. These new flavors are available online as well as fitness locations and other fine retailers and adds additional points of availability. Our delicious on-the-go sticks, loved by Celsius fans, allows consumers to enjoy Celsius anywhere. We are a lean organization capitalizing on today's health and wellness trends with our innovative portfolio of products with mass appeal. Our brand is resonating with today's consumer and is gaining considerable momentum. Our future has never looked brighter. I'll now turn the call over to Edwin Negron-Cabala, our Chief Financial Officer, for his prepared remarks. Edwin?
Thank you, John. Total revenue for the second quarter of 2018 was $9.3 million compared to $10.2 million in the second quarter of 2017. The 9% shortfall was mainly attributable to the timing of sales, as John discussed earlier. Looking now at the results by geography, the North American sales were up a robust 29% year over year due to growth in existing accounts and new distribution expansion. In Europe, the normalizing of inventories translated to a 78% slowdown in sales as our customer reduced orders in the second quarter of 2018. And in Asia, sales decreased due to the timing of orders and the application of promotional discounts provided in the quarter. Although gross profit for the second quarter of 2018 reflected a decline of $585,000, or 13% to $4 million, our margins remained very healthy at 42.8% of revenue. This compares to $4.6 million of gross profit in Q2 2017, which also delivered healthy profitability of 44.6%. The decline in gross profit dollars was the result of lower volume, while profitability was affected by the slotting fees and other similar charges in the international markets. Selling and marketing expenses for the quarter ending June 30, 2018, were $4.1 million compared to $2.4 million for Q2 in 2017, an increase of 72%. The increase is primarily due to investments in marketing programs to continue to build out our brand and employee investments in order to have a solid infrastructure for growth. General and administrative expenses for the second quarter of 2018 were $3.1 million compared to $1.6 million for the second quarter of 2017, an increase of 93%. The increase was primarily due to a non-recurring charge of $945,000 related to the settlement of a territorial dispute with a former distributor, and an increase of approximately $600,000 for recognition of option expense, as well as a slight increase in research and development costs of $67,000, which were partially offset by savings in other areas of approximately $120,000. Net loss to common stockholders for the second quarter of 2018 was $3.3 million, or 7 cents per basic and diluted share, compared to net income of $380,000, or 1 cent per basic and diluted share for the corresponding period last year. Net loss and net income attributable to common stockholders includes preferred stock dividends. For the second quarter of 2018, the net loss included preferred dividends of approximately $43,000. And for the second quarter of 2017, the net loss included preferred dividends of approximately $91,000. The savings in preferred dividends is associated with the conversion of our preferred D shares to common stock during the period. Operating expenses for the second quarter reflected non-cash charges, including depreciation, amortization, and stock-based compensation, for a total of approximately $1.2 million compared to $585,000 for Q2 2017. Adjusted EBITDA for the second quarter of 2018 was a negative $2.1 million compared to a positive $1.1 million in the second quarter of 2017. Now, by excluding other one-time charges and the net investment in Asia, we obtained non-GAAP adjusted EBITDA results, which are very close to break-even, at a negative $261,000 in the second quarter of 2018, which is comparable to a positive $1.1 million for the corresponding period in 2017. We believe that the information reflecting adjusted EBITDA and non-GAAP financial aspects enhances the overall understanding of our performance. To that effect, a reconciliation of our GAAP results to non-GAAP figures has been included in our earnings release. Now, turning to our year-to-date results, for the first 6 months of 2018, revenues increased a robust 32% to $21.4 million as a result of excellent growth in North American sales of 45%. Similarly, Asia reflected a strong increase of approximately $1.3 million, which were partially offset by a decline of 30% in European sales of $1.4 million. The decline in European sales mainly pertains to the timing of reorders on our core Celsius line, which was partially offset by the launch of our BCAA Celsius line in Northern Europe. The increase in total revenue was primarily due to an increase in sales volume as opposed to increases in product pricing. Gross profit for the first 6 months of 2018 increased by a solid 26% to $8.7 million. Delivering a strong gross profit margin of 41%, compared to $6.9 million a year ago, which also delivered a healthy 42.8% gross profit margin. The increase in gross profit dollars is primarily attributable to increases in revenue, while gross margin profitability was affected by incremental promotional allowances and slotting charges. Operational expenses for the first 6 months of 2018 increased 77% to $14.9 million, up from $8.3 million in the prior year. This increase was driven by investments in sales and marketing initiatives of $5.2 million and a $1.4 million increase in general and administrative expenses. Regarding other expenses, there was a decline of 7.5% to $80,000 in the first 6 months of 2018 compared to $87,000 in the first six months of 2017 as a result of lower interest expense. The company's net loss attributed to common stockholders for the first 6 months of 2018 was $6.4 million or 13 cents per basic and diluted share compared to a net loss of $1.6 million or 4 cents per basic and diluted share for the comparable period in 2017. Operating expenses for the first 6 months of 2018 included non-cash charges for depreciation, amortization, and stock-based compensation totaling approximately $1.9 million, compared to $1.6 million last year. Adjusted EBITDA for the first 6 months of 2018 was a loss of $4.2 million compared to a positive adjusted EBITDA of $47,000 in the year-ago period. By adjusting for other non-recurring charges and investments in Asia, we once again obtained very, very good results, close to break-even, reflecting a non-GAAP adjusted EBITDA for the first 6 months of 2018 of a negative $120,000. Compared to a positive adjusted EBITDA of $805,000 for the comparable period last year. Now, turning to our balance sheet, as of June 30th, 2018, the company had cash of approximately $8.5 million and working capital of approximately $16.3 million. This compares with $14.2 million in cash and $20.6 million of working capital as of December 31st, 2017. We believe our current cash balance is sufficient to meet our anticipated cash needs through the next 12 months. Cash used in operations for the first six months of 2018 totaled $5.8 million compared to $2.7 million in the first 6 months of 2017. The increase in use of cash in 2018 is mainly related to the net loss from operations, as the net use of cash related to operational assets and liabilities was actually $1.2 million lower in 2018 than in 2017. That concludes our prepared remarks. Operator, you may open the call for questions. Thank you.
At this time, we'll be conducting a question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Our first question comes from Jeff Van Sinderen with B. Riley FBR. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, everyone. So maybe you can give us a little better understanding. In domestic, it seems that demand temporarily outstripped supply, and you had about, I think, 1 million or 1.3 million, I think you said, in orders that shifted into Q3. How much of that was because you were filling the channel for Target and CVS? And then also, can you tell us more about the sell-throughs at CVS? I think you said there was a reset there in terms of where they were, where they have the product in the stores. Also, is CVS rolling to more stores? Are they adding more flavors? So just trying to get a sense of that. And then maybe just kind of where you stand now in terms of inventory and production capacity. Do you think the stockouts are behind you now? We can start with those.
Sure. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate the questions. In regards to the really delayed shipment of about 1.3, we had some temporary really production delays in regards to working with one of our largest co-packers that set us back several weeks Unfortunately, we did have, we weren't fully out of stock on all of our SKUs, but we did have about 2.5 weeks of out of stocks on timing of shipments to certain customers throughout our channels. The accumulation of those that crossed over from, you know, the last week in the quarter to the first week of the third quarter, the total was $1.3 million, which has now shipped in the third quarter. In regards to, you know, the procurement of the product and the production, as you recall, over the last several quarters and years, we've continued to work on solidifying our production. We are now running product at multiple co-packers. We feel that our inventory has stabilized. We have plans in place to continue to execute, and we have our co-packers back online. We actually added another co-packer online in the third quarter. So we feel we have a sufficient amount of supply. We're continuing to build more inventory as we continue to move forward. But at this point in time, we are shipping orders, and we have sufficient inventory for growth. When you look at your question in regards to CVS, as you recall, we went into, in the first quarter, early second quarter, we entered 550 open-air front checkout coolers at CVS. You know, we have received reorders, strong reorders from CVS, and we are extremely optimistic as we continue to partner with them. As we mentioned before, last call, that we would there would be a review taking place somewhere around September for the resets coming up. So based on the momentum and volume of reorders we're receiving from these CVS locations, we're very excited about the opportunity. In Target, we were authorized with three SKUs, as I stated, in 1,000 stores. So through the quarter, the second quarter, we were going through that process with reorders. The great news that we were very excited, as well as Target, was regards when the product hit the shelf in regards to the reorders we were receiving. So we were very excited about the momentum there, and we stated earlier in the call that we are very optimistic on gaining additional SKUs of additional placement in the back half of this year due to the initial success of the product. So we're really excited about that partnership at Target. And we are we look forward to a very prosperous future as we move forward with that.
Okay, well, those sound like great launches. And then maybe if we can shift a little bit to the Nordic region, if you can help us understand better what was behind the decline in the Nordic region. I know you mentioned a couple of elements there with new flavor launches and so forth. But I think you also said that in May you had a really strong month, so we're just trying to parse those out. Maybe just touch on the sell-throughs, how sell-throughs have been in that region, and you know, if it sounds like maybe there's a disconnect between the sell-throughs and you know, the orders you've received in Q2, and then maybe just give us a sense of what you're expecting in Q3 from that region.
Yeah, no, thank you, Jeff. Out of the Nordics, when we look at the Nordics, we're talking about Sweden, we're talking about Finland and Norway as the opportunity there with our strategic distribution partner. When you look at the prior quarter in 2017 to 2018, there was a variety of new SKU launches which took place in that quarter, so we're cycling those. In addition, we mentioned our distribution partner is bringing inventories down to more manageable volume. So as a result of that, and they're going through this transition of a new packaging refresh of a new look and feel, we are very confident that these orders will be more normalized as we move forward. We already have orders in place that are under production as we speak for the third quarter. So it was really a timing in regards to replenishment orders with our customer in the Nordics. In regards to May, I stated May was a great sales month. Speaking with our distribution partner over there, their sell-through in the month of May was very strong. They had a variety of programs where they had pallet drops in a variety of the co-op locations, and they were very motivated for the May momentum. So we expect this to be a timing as we move forward and get back to more normalized levels. The other positive news that's coming out of the Nordics in regards to Finland and Norway is we're getting information that we're further expansion into the co-op locations in those outlets. There's a great opportunity as resets take place in the back half of 2018, early 2019. We'll be able to gain additional national distribution with the other key accounts in the market.
Okay, great. And then just one more for me. On China, I think you said you're now in about 25,000 doors, which is great. You've increased the door count a lot there. Can you give us a sense of how the sell-throughs are trending there? You know, maybe what you expect in terms of the trajectory of your business there in the near term?
Absolutely. In regards to China, and we look at the quarter, the second quarter, we had a considerable amount of product that shipped in March. In addition to that, our team anticipated the resets taking place earlier in the second quarter than they did post-Chinese New Year. A lot of the retail sets resets were taking place on key accounts further back towards the back end of the quarter. And as a result of that, we lost several weeks of sell-through opportunity. But at the end of the quarter, as you mentioned and stated on the call, we're in over 25,000 locations and 11,000 key accounts, which is really key to our success there. We are in some monumental accounts. The sell-through has been extremely positive in these accounts when we're seeing the initial take rates. Which we've been in there now, about four to really several weeks now. So we are getting reorders. We have a reorder in July that we've produced and have sold to our master distributor, and we're gearing up for another order to come in for August any day now. So, the product is turning, and we're gaining more feedback, more ground data to understand further how Celsius is performing. But we are getting great placement in the stores, and we're seeing some great execution by our distribution partner.
Okay, that's great to hear. Thanks for taking my questions, and I'll take the rest offline.
Thank you, Jeff.
Our next question comes from Jeffrey Cohn with Ladenburg Thalmann. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, Edwin and John. This is actually Destiny on for Jeff. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can, Destiny. Thank you.
Okay, great. So I just had a couple questions. I think I'd like to start with any trends within the fitness and energy drink segments, including flavors. I know that you had introduced a coconut one because coconut water had become so popular. Are you seeing any other trends similar to that one?
Yeah, that's a great question. We had a variety of great momentum in the second quarter with our flavors, and one of the big interest in our flavor, which was one of our new flavors, was the kiwi guava. We got excellent feedback, excellent distribution from our distribution partners. It was really embraced by the fitness channel as well, and we got a substantial offtake in regards to that product turning, and we expect that kiwi guava flavor to gain additional authorizations in our key accounts as we continue to move forward for the next planogram resets. When you look at, as you mentioned, the coconut, our coconut, which is our powder product, we just launched it in July, as well as our cranberry lemon, which is a great flavor. It really is an excellent product. Everyone loves it. And that is just now rolling in through really the fitness channel.
Okay, got it. And then also I think you mentioned that you had expanded into about 300 Planet Fitness locations. Is that both the heat line and your original line, or are you aiming more towards one or the other?
When you look at our heat line, our heat line initially launched in the fitness channel, and we look at the distribution of the heat line currently. It is mainly in the fitness channel, and we do have two SKUs authorized nationally at 7-Eleven, where we have about 25% ACV distribution throughout the nation today. Our teams are focused on expanding that because we do have national authorization with those two SKUs. But specifically speaking to Planet Fitness, you're going to see a combination of our original line as well as our Celsius Heat line in those Planet Fitness locations, as well as through all the fitness channels. You'll see a combination of our core line as well as the Celsius Heat, and both lines are performing extremely well in that fitness channel.
Okay, great. That's very helpful. I also was wondering if you could talk a tiny bit about the vending micro-market initiative. Could you provide a little more color on that?
Absolutely. The vending micro-market opportunity is extremely exciting for us. You know, when we look at how Celsius goes to market, we're targeting consumers where they live, work, and play, and this is full-encompassing. So this micro-market, we have a dedicated team focused on the opportunity. That's really in addition to micro-markets, it's healthy vending as well as colleges and universities as well. And the micro-markets, which we went in, started to roll into that channel in the second quarter, which is really at-work locations. We're seeing an extremely high offtick in regards to the number of sales running through on a weekly basis out of these micro-markets. It is a great opportunity for us. So you're going to see us at your at-work location. You'll see us at your health club. You'll see us in your vitamin specialty store. You'll see us in your drug channel. You'll see us in your MASH channel. And you'll also be able to purchase us online. So we're available for consumers. We're going to continue to expand that distribution. That is a major focus, which aligns nicely with our marketing strategies as well to continue to target consumers where they live, work, and play.
Okay, thank you. And now I just kind of wanted to ask one more related to your online presence. I remember from last quarter you had started the ambassador program, and I guess you said you had about 300 with more onboarding by the minute. I'm curious, can you track clicks from your ambassador's posts to your website? And if so, are you seeing any additional volume from those clicks?
You know, that's a good question. We have very passionate fans of the brand. We have onboarded over 300 and more as we're speaking. We are seeing more social engagement. We do have some additional software we use to be able to track the engagement that's out there, not only on our sites, but other third-party sites as well. And we're seeing increases in the overall engagement. So this program is really a great opportunity for us to really continue to attract our core fans, to really spread Celsius. People are very vocal. They're excited. It is a great product. It's an experiential product. And this platform allows them to get additional benefits for being a fan of the brand. So we're really excited about that. And, you know, it's all incremental.
Okay, got it. I think that does it for me. Thank you so much for taking the questions.
Thank you so much, Destiny.
Our next question comes from Anthony Vendetti with Maxim Group. Please proceed with your question.
Thanks. Yeah, I was just wondering, John, if you could just go a little bit more into what's the situation with the Nordic distribution partner. Just trying to understand if it was partly timing or other factors there. And same thing with China. That one seems like it's more timing.
Sure. Thank you, Anthony. You know, the Nordic partner, when you look at the overall revenues, I think you get a clearer picture. When you look at the quarterly run rate on revenues in 2017, they had large revenue orders in Q2 and Q3 with some of the new flavors that they brought on board. And it's taking some time for those flavors to cycle through and get inventories down to more normalized levels. So that's one thing they are focused on. Our partners are focused on improving their working capital. So they are bringing inventories down to really a more manageable just-in-time system, which we've been working with them. And that's something we've been working on for some time now, really bringing on those two additional co-packers. So we've been working on a variety of different synergies on trying to be able to provide them orders in a more timely manner so that it improves their working capital needs. We have received orders for the third quarter. We have produced orders for July. We have orders in August and September. We actually have an order in-house for October as well. So it is moving towards more normalized levels as they work through that inventory. Plus, they had a repackaging and a refresh that they were going through, really FIFOing down some of their inventory levels. When you look at China, you are correct. It is truly a timing issue there in regards to the recognition of revenue, because when we produce the product, just like in the Nordics and just like in China, we're selling full production runs to our master distributor. So a lot of those orders in China took place late in the quarter, and as a result of those resets really taking place later in the quarter, that affected the sell-through. And as a result, we did not get reorders in the quarter, but we do have orders in-house for July, and we should be getting another order momentarily for August production as well.
Okay, so you mentioned also, so you have two co-packers that are back online, which should enable better just-in-time inventory, correct?
That's in the Nordics. We have two co-packers in the Nordics, one in Holland and one in Germany that we've had, we've brought online for some time, and we're really working with our partner to streamline a lot of that inventory and the flow of that inventory as well. And then they're bringing down their inventory levels for additional working capital.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's what I meant. I'm sorry. I flipped back to the Nordic. I don't know if you provided an update on 7-Eleven, but if you could just talk about, how that rollout's going.
Absolutely. I mentioned on the call, 7-Eleven is a great opportunity for us. We are focused on 7-Eleven. We are right around on our core line. We're right around a 50% ACV at 7-Eleven. We are coming through the national wholesaler network at McLane, but we've been able to maintain our position. We're seeing increases each and every month on the increase in really ACV as we go forward, as well as the volume per outlet. So we're really optimistic. I'm very excited about that partnership. It continues to forge this relationship. We are attending a lot of the FOA Franchise Association meetings to gain additional distribution. It is a continual work-in process because 7-Eleven is a franchise-owned really retailer. So we have to go door by door in order to sell additional distribution. So we're doing a variety of different tactics to continue to grow within 7-Eleven. We're in about 50% of our core line, 25% with our Celsius heat line, and a tremendous amount of opportunity as we continue to grow and increase our ACV. And that's just going to take time. It's going to take effort, and we're focused on it. With these stores continuing to perform well and sales increasing on a monthly, quarterly basis as we continue to build the brand base, these other retailers are going to, the other stores will come online. Very optimistic about that. And they are a great partner for us.
Okay. And then just two last quick ones. Vending machines, I know that's a relatively new opportunity for you, but can you talk about the traction there?
Yeah, the traction there has been very successful. We have currently have two team members that are truly focused on this initiative. I'll have updated numbers on the next call in the third quarter. I can provide further detailed numbers on our update, how many hypermarkets, micro markets we are in, as well as additional vending machines. But initially, throughout the quarter, we feel confident we gained an excess of about 1,000 vending machines and micro market locations. So that's at work and healthy vending machines. And the opportunity is exponential out there. There is a great opportunity for us, and the turns we're seeing at these at-work locations and in these healthy vending machines is extremely positive.
Okay, great. And then just the last question, there was a million-dollar legal settlement with a former distributor. Can you just refresh our memory on what that was about, and is that completely resolved now?
Yeah. we did have a legal dispute, territorial dispute with a distributor that we had ongoing in the LA court system for some time. It was last year it was filed. We've gone through the process with time, effort. We moved through a settlement to move forward. We have great opportunities in our business to continue to grow, and that settlement is behind us, and we are focused on growing the business.
Okay, great. All right, John, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Anthony.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Our next question comes from Richard Tilley, a private investor. Please proceed with your question.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My name is Richard Tilley. I'm a stockholder for 11 years, having bought my first Celsius stock in June of 07. Now, I buy my Celsius product at the Harris Teeter store in Southern Pines, North Carolina. So my comments can only be related to what products they carry. The first is a Celsius can that has a black top. My flavors I like are watermelon and grape. They also carry the Heat product. And finally, they carry other products with an aluminum top. Can you tell me why there's such a drastic difference in the taste between the black top Celsius and the aluminum top Celsius can? I'm anxious to hear what you have to say because there is a dramatic difference in taste.
Thank you, Richard. First off, I truly appreciate your long-term commitment as a shareholder to this company. And I can assure you the management team and employers are working very hard and diligently each and every day. To answer your question at Harris Teeter, the black top cans in our core line contain all of our sparkling flavors. It's a differentiation to our products. The aluminum top colored cans on our core line is our non-carbs, which is a raspberry acai and a peach mango green tea. So those are our two tea flavors in the core line. We also have, in Harris Teeter, our naturally sweetened line and naturally caffeinated line, which is sweetened with a stevia and erythritol. So there will be some flavor profile differences from our core line to our natural line with that contains that naturally sweetened line with that contains the stevia and erythritol. But I will assure you, our natural line, which has just entered Harris Teeter, is doing extremely well in the natural channel and Sprouts and Fresh Market. And we're seeing a lot of demand for that product as well.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you very much, Richard.
Our next question comes from Diane Nagy, a private investor. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, I'm a long-term investor as well. And my first question is, how do you see the tariffs affecting the bottom line for the coming quarters?
Thank you, Diane. I appreciate you joining the call, and thank you for your long-term support. In regards to the tariffs in China, I touched on that briefly on the call. And one thing that sets us apart, which is very different than a lot of other companies that are importing into China, we are not importing into China. We are actually producing locally. So it's local production, locally sourced raw materials. We have a local team, and we have an entity structure where we have a local company that's registered in Beijing. So we are not affected by the tariffs today because we are not importing products into China.
I see. The other question I have is a practical one. I'm wondering why you don't seek cheaper quarters. The quarters you are in right now are pretty expensive, and I think that would help the bottom line if you were to seek more reasonable rents.
Okay. Our goal has been to continue to grow this business as effectively and efficiently as we can as a management team. And I can assure you, each and every one of our employees are dedicated to that, driving top-line revenue growth, improving gross profits, and ultimately improving the bottom line. We are very diligent on all of our expenditures, where we gain additional quotes, and we push vendors and suppliers to gain the best price for Celsius. As we continue to grow in scale, we will be able to gain additional efficiencies throughout our supply chain and throughout our other marketing and SG&A expenses. And we continue to focus on that. On a year-to-date basis, taking out one-time charges and the investments that were made in Asia, we are at a close to break-even and reinvesting those dollars into marketing. With considerable investments in North America, where we're seeing strong top-line revenue growth, I hope that answers your question on that. We're very diligent on controlling and monitoring expenses.
Okay, thank you. That'll be all I have.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the end of the question and answer session. At this time, I'd like to turn the call back to management for closing comments.
Thank you. Our underlying second quarter results demonstrates our product are gaining considerable momentum as we are capitalizing on today's global health and wellness trends. Our active healthy lifestyle position is a global position with mass appeal. We are building upon our core business and leveraging opportunities and deploying best practices. I am very proud of our dedicated team, and I thank our investors for their continued support. Thank you, everyone, for your interest in Celsius, and have a great day.
This concludes today's conference. You may disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation.